Okay, Parshas Vayetze, here we go. We're already now Yaakov Avinu.
Mm-hmm. 2 years.
Here we go. What?
2 years post Moses' bar mitzvah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I know.
And it just feels like it goes, like you start the year, and the Parshas mm-hmm. just go by so fast.
Yes, they do.
Because they're the best Parshas. They're stories.
When you're little and you're learning,
life lessons.
You don't realize how much is in one. Because it can take you all year to get through one.
Yeah.
There's a lot so per Parsha.
That's true.
I used to think, like, how am I ever going to give, like,
every
year, I give another drasha and another parsha. The answer is there's like
it's endless.
Okay, so let's take a look at part of the story, right? So Yaakov leaves Beersheba, goes to Haran. He stops and he davens at that place, and there's a ladder, etc. And he leaves that place and he gets to Haran, and he meets this girl, Rachel, and he's like, all right, here we go. So they fall in love right away. And fine. So we know that he likes Rachel more than Leah, which is okay, he's allowed. And he wants to marry her. So the Torah tells the following. Vayahav Yaakov et Rachel, vayomer, vodcha sheva shanim b'racha bidcha haktana. So Yaakov loves Rachel, and he says to her father, right, to Lavan, I'll work for you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. So Rashi points out, I don't have it here, but Rashi points out, why is he so specific? Rachel bitcha katana. It's now like a phrase people use, and right? Rachel bitcha katana means like very specific, right? I'll tell you, they say, I'll tell you Rachel bitcha katana, meaning I'll tell you detail by detail. Why? Because he knew who he was dealing with. He knew who Lavan was. So he says Rachel bitcha katana because he knows he's going to get tricked. And by the way, he gets tricked anyways. Fine. But that's why I used that. That's why Rashi says he used that language. Fine. But Yomer Lavan, and Lavan says, Tov titi osa lach mititi li osa li ish acher sheva imadi. He says, well, I'd rather give it to you than somebody else. So I guess it's fine. And good. You have a deal. Fine. Vayavod Yaakov b'Rachel sheva shanim. And Yaakov works for Rachel 7 years. Vayu beinav kiyamim achadim ba'avasa osa. And they were like a few days because he loved her so much. It's very romantic. But ask me a question.
What question are you thinking of?
I don't know what questions you're thinking of.
I start with...
I want to say answer all your questions, but...
Why not get married, then work the 7 years?
Okay, I want to get married first, then like, work 7 years.
You know,
okay.
Why are we doing that?
Good.
Also, there's like the... Sometimes if you're eager for something, it feels like way, way longer when you're waiting for it as opposed to seconds.
And he didn't really feel that way. Wasn't it hard 7 years?
Hard 7 years.
Yeah.
Right. It was so easy. I don't know. Anything that you're waiting for a long time, I ask anybody who's... I spend a lot of time with young people getting married. Like, I'll just tell you, like, they don't think it's a few days where they're waiting to get married. Like, they're dying. They're like, it's only 93 days till our wedding. And like, they're like, I'm like, nobody's counting, you know? Right. But like, this is not how most people feel. Like, something they're looking forward to very much. It doesn't usually feel kayamim achadim. Oh, it's just a few days. We're so, you know, we're so waiting for it so bad. It feels like it's just a few days. I don't know. Most of us don't feel like that. It feels like a long time for something you're waiting for. Mm-hmm.
Why seven?
My seven.
Why would you propose seven? That's a good. Very long
time. It's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Okay.
What does it mean he loved him? I mean, you gave a sheer
he loved her.
Loved her. We talked about
it. Can't be he loved her. Can't be he loved
he
her. Why?
He didn't invest in her.
He didn't invest yet. Good. Okay, good, good.
So what is this?
Yeah.
I also feel like Lavan's response is very, like, insulting.
Very.
Like,
he's a pretty insulting guy.
Yeah.
If you're coming for chizuk, don't go to love him.
Yeah. It's like, what kind of response is that? Like, okay, like, you're better than the next guy. Like,
so I guess better than you than somebody else. All right, fine. All right. Yeah.
With Yitzchak and Rivka, they saw each other. It doesn't ever say, like, where did he even know her from to love her?
Oh,
How much time did he spend her? I don't remember.
No, he meets her at the well.
He meets her at the well.
Yes, yeah, he meets, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah, they meet
at
the well.
That was love at first sight.
They also love, love at first sight. But again, Yitzchak and Rivka don't even meet. It's Eliezer who meets Rivka, right? And or the Eved, whoever that is. We assume it's Eliezer. And then they meet each other when he, like, that's a real shidduch. Like, that's a real, like, you know, meet at the l'chaim. You know, like they show, she shows up and they meet, and that's it. They don't have a choice. But Eliezer chose her for her, chose her for him. Here, at least, they meet, and there's something that he gets to know about her. By the way, it is true that for a while, you know, let's just take a look to be sure. But it could be, we don't know exactly how much time he spends there before he makes this request. We don't know how many, you know, months he's been living there. So it could be he already starts to, you know, there's at least some time they got to know each other. Let's just see this 1 second. So he was there for at least a month before he asks for, you know, so that's when he says to her, you know, you've been here for a month already, you're just working me for free. That's not right, Lavan says. Tell me what, though, you know, how much should I pay you? So that's when Yaakov responds, I'll work for you 7 years for your daughter. Right? So we do have like at least a month they could have been hanging out and, you know, schmoozing, and I don't know, we don't know what they were doing. But I'm being serious. I don't know. We don't know. They know each other. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. They got a drink somewhere. You know, a Coke, you know. But we don't know. But yeah, good. Fine. But I want to focus today on this Vayubeinav ki yamim acharim. Because I get this question all the time. Like, it just doesn't seem to make any sense. Right? It seemed like a few days. And by the way, did the Torah have to tell us this at all? Say nothing. Right? Vayavod Yaakov v'Rachel, sheva shanim, period. Well, I don't need it. It's not part of the story. Meaning, it shouldn't be part of the story. I don't need it at all. To tell me this, how this thing worked, I don't need to know that if he felt. He felt. It's nice how he felt.
You need to know it to know that when he married Leah, that it was not his plan.
Ah, good. Okay, so maybe that's part of what's going on here. All right, but in terms of telling me the information, in theory, you could have not included this phrase. Fine. So let's see what it means. Take a look at Rashi in source number 2. So Rashi, if my sheet looks a little different today, it's because I got closed out of my Bar Ilan account and through YU, so I have to get closed back in. So I use Safari, which is wonderful. It's free, but it's a little less user-friendly for me. I'm just not used to it, so it looks a little different. But anyways, so Rashi, back on the first pasuk, by Varcha Sheva Shanim, says, why does it say, why 7 years? Heim yamim achadim sha'amr lo imo, v'yashavti imo, Yamim Achadim. Actually, skip down one line to source number 3. Source number 3 is back in last week's parsha when Rivka finds out, right, through Ruach HaKodesh, that Esav is going to kill, says he's going to kill Yaakov. So what does she do? So source number 3, Vayugad Rivka Estivrei Esav Benakadol. She heard it was told to her. So it's a question, what do you mean it was told to her? He didn't tell anybody. So the Medrash says she heard if she has nevuah. That's true. Again, it could be he told somebody else and they told her. Fine. Vatishlach vadikrada Yaakov benakadon. She goes and calls, you know, for Yaakov to come. Vatomer lav hinei Esav achicha minachim lachal l'argecha. Your brother's going to kill you. V'ata b'rishma b'koli v'kum brach lacha elavan achi charan. So run away to my brother Lavan in Charan. And she says v'yashav ta'imo yamim achadim. You should stay how long? A few days. So when she says that, well, she says, "Ada shetashuv chamas achicha," until your brother stops being upset with you. Okay, ashuvach af achicha mimcha v'shachachat asher asit alo. When she forgets what you did to him, v'shalachti ulakachti chamisham, and I'll send for you and bring you home. Lam eshkal gam shnechem yom echad. Why shall I lose both of you on the same day? And then she tells Yitzchak, you know, I'm upset. I want him to marry women from Canaan. She doesn't even say to him, I know that Esav, it's fascinating, the whole different part of this conversation. She doesn't say to her husband, I know Esav's going to kill Yaakov. Let's send him to Haran. She says, send him to find a wife. Fine. But the bottom line is, the most important piece is, what she tells Yaakov to do is stay Yamim Achadim. Right. Oh. And that's what, and by the way, when she says stay Yamim Achadim, what does that mean? What do you take that to mean? How long is that?
A while. Until Esav's anger calms down, that's right. Going to be a very that's long time because he wants to kill.
So does
him.
Yamim Achadim, according
it doesn't
to
literally mean a few days.
Good. So no does way. Yamim Achadim mean a few days?
No,
that can't be what it means. Go for a few days. First of all, you know how long it takes him to get there? Right. He's walking. I don't know. It's going to take him a few weeks till a month. I don't know how long it takes him to travel from Beersheba to like Iraq, I think, Padan Aram, Haran, right? So to travel from Beersheba to somewhere in Iraq by foot, I don't know. It's going to take him a few weeks to get there, probably. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to stop every night. He has to go to sleep. He has to find places to stay. You know, so he's going to it's going to be a little bit of a trip to get there. She doesn't mean to stay there for a few days. So yamim achadim, that's like us using our, contemporary Hebrew to translate the phrase. Mm-hmm. It can't mean a few days. Right. So elamai, what does it mean? It means a little while. Mm-hmm.
But does it mean 7 years?
Right. Okay. Oh, okay.
But she also says she'll send for him. Never sends for him.
So some say that this whole story about Devorah Menekes Rivka, right? That Devorah Menekes Rivka, that Devorah, the wet nurse of Rivka, that she dies and he buries her, right? That story, we never hear about her arriving. What did she go with him when he runs away? Probably not, right? So how did she get there? So some Mefarshim say she was the one who Rivka sent to bring him back. And then she says to him to go back, and that's when he comes back.
But when did that? I don't remember
the story. Devorah Menekes Rivka is like you'll find her in, is that the next week's parsha, or in the beginning of Vayishlach? I think end of this week's parsha. I think she dies and he buries her under a tree. But that's, he ends up staying for how long? You know, how many years does he stay?
Well, it's at least the 14.
Seven, 20, 7 and 7 for the two wives. And then he stays another six for another six to make his own money.
Right.
Right? And then it takes him a couple of years to travel to get back. He's separate from his parents for 22 years, separate from the Chazal say, the other 14 years the Chazal say he spent in Yeshiva Shein Ve'ever. Which, by the way, last week's parsha, Rashi explains why you have a 14-year gap. He explains it, last week's parsha, why Chazal even do that. But forgetting that for a second, the bottom line is he spends 22 years away. But he does go away. He's expected to stay there for a while. We don't know exactly how long. But the phrase that's used is Yamim Achadim. You're supposed to stay for Yamim Achadim. So if that's true now, okay, so when the Torah says Vayavod Yaakov Rachel Sheva Shanim, he works for 7 years, and it says Vayivihiyu Beinav Ki Yamim Achadim Avaso Osa. And they were like Yamim Achadim, and as much he loved her, that is not random.
No.
That's not a happens to be that Hashem used the same exact phrase, right? The phrase is very, very specifically used here, right? So how would you? But there's something different about it, because what does it say about the Yamim?
The reason is
that he loved her, and were they actually Yamim Achadim?
No, it was
no.
The Einav.
They felt like Yamim Achadim,
right.
But the man, he loved her. So what does that mean?
The intensity of it, or the extent of it,
or maybe like what was on his mind. Like he wasn't necessarily thinking about Rivka and how he has to run away from Esav. He's thinking like forward looking.
So maybe it was. I don't know. I'm kicking around with you. I don't have a formed answer to this approach. Right? But look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Heim yamim achadim sha'amar lo imo." When he says, "I'll work for 7 years," this is the yamim achadim that his mom told him about, right? Yeah. And he says, "Vateda shekenu." It's true. Sharek si v'yu beinav ki yamim achadim. Because then the Torah says later, right here, that they were like yamim achadim. But I just think what's interesting is that they become yamim achadim because he loves Rivka so much, Rachel so much. He's so interested in marrying her. So was it really yamim achadim? Maybe it was a little longer than his mom had intended. But maybe, I don't know. A little longer, but he said...
He's following his mother's instructions.
So he
had her in mind.
So he needs this to fit. Because if it's too long, then mom's going to be upset with me. But mom also wants me to marry the right girl.
Right.
So he says, it fit enough.
Yeah.
Why? Baba Sosa. Maybe, this is my shot. Because he knew this was the right girl. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Meaning my mom wanted to find the right girl. So if this is the right girl, and I love her this much, my mom will say, this is good. Yamim Achadim.
This whole chapter starts with him following Rivka's advice.
Right.
He's in for it.
Right.
This is it. His mother said, do it.
He's his whole time, he's always his mother said, right?
You have to keep doing
yeah,
it.
He's the, this guy is very connected to his mom. Yeah. Right? This is Yaakov, right? So he is. He's very, he does whatever she says. He's amazing. He's so, she loved him, right? And by the way, take us back last week, she invested the most in him, maybe. So he feels that love and he's connected to her. So he does what she wants. So when he finds the right girl, who he said she sent him to find the right girl, the, how many days is it? I don't know. But it's the right amount of time because that's what my mom wanted me to do. Yeah. So I just think it's fascinating. Vayu be'inav, this, I didn't bring this to show you this one, but I think it's very beautiful. Vayu be'inav, he knew that this was the right girl for me, and therefore it was like the Yamim Achadim that his mom had told him about. Fine. We don't always put those two together, right? I think it's very, I think it's very nice.
Is, we're assuming Ahavato Ota is referring to Rachel.
Maybe his
mom.
Yes. Bavasa Osa, yes. His mother.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's a big Kiddush. I don't think it says that. I don't think anyone says that, but maybe they do. We have to look it up. Okay, I don't know.
Okay.
That I mean, we can, afterwards, post half, so post sheer.
It would be that.
It does, but then the language
so
is open to.
No, but it grammatically it doesn't make sense because this is Vayavo Yaakov Birachel Sheva Shani. The woman he loved, which is.
Right. It's like a deep
shot. Yeah, it's a Hasidic shot. Yeah, I like this. I like that. Right? It's very nice. Fine. This is not the main thing I wanted you to see, but it's important also, right? I know we like to end with something inspiring, so we'll end with something inspiring. But it's also important. This is why we do it like this, right? It's important to see that the way the text is you know,
parallel between
how it's constructed. In such a beautiful way, like the Bon Shalom, you know, he doesn't need my haskama, but like, it's very beautiful. The language comes right back. It's the exact same thing, and it was like because right, it's very beautiful. Fine, okay. So that's Rashi. That's Rashi. Maybe we said a little extended pshat in Rashi, but that's Rashi. Good, okay. But still, Yamim Achadim is still a little bit difficult, right? Yamim Achadim, it's still if you didn't tell me a few days, that's not gonna fly. So the Ibn Ezra also has to deal with this. So Rashi found his answer, but now let's look at Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says, Yamim achadim kamo, yamim tihe gulaso. This is a pasuk in Vayikra Chafhei. I didn't bring you the original pasuk. Let's find it quickly. Vayikra Chafhei. Chafhei Chavdas. Okay? It's talking about a very like esoteric halacha, about like people who live, they have their original land, and they had to sell their land because they were in desperate situation about getting their land back at the Yovel. Okay, so it says v'ishkim kor beit moshav ir choma v'ita gulato atom shnas mimkaro yamim tia gulaso. So it'll be a few. It's going to be days until he gets his geula, meaning he gets his land back. Okay, so right there, yamim. Rashi says yamei shana shlema kuriyim yamim, a year. Is called yamim. Sometimes the language of the Torah is yamim doesn't mean a day. It doesn't mean days. Yamim means a year, a full year. A full set of days is how much? 365 or 354, right? A full set of days goes, days are counted in years. I mean, you could also say they're counted in weeks, and they're also counted in months. But yamim in the Torah means years. So if that's true, shanim muatot v'achadim pichutim me'eser. What's a small amount of years? Less than 10, single digits of years, okay, is considered yamim achadim. Because again, what's achadim? Yamim achadim, a gathering, a collection of yamim that is achads. Right. Right? So many achads, meaning they're not 10. So they were like yamim achadim, because it was. Fine. Okay, fine. But I think that Ibn Ezra, just by the way, is on Rivka, that's on what Rivka says. Right? So you use the same sort of the same point that Rashi says.
She was intending that he'd go away for a few years.
Don't go away for 20 years. That's not what she intended. A few years is what she intended. Fine, and so he did that. And then you can say the same shot. He was following what his mother said. Fine. But look at the Sforno. The Sforno says the following. But you benav kemi machadim, shechashav shahaya ra'ui latet mohar rav mizeh. So in his eyes, it was like only a small amount of time. That's clearly what the Torah is trying to teach us, right? That there's something that he felt was less Right? Because he loved her so much, it didn't feel as bad as I could have felt. Mm-hmm. Right? That's clearly what the Torah is trying to say here. There's something powerful about his love, yeah? Yeah, exactly. Fine. So why? Why is it not so much? So it says this one, Shachashav, he thought, Shahaya Roy Latit Mohar Rav Mizah. I could have had to give
even more.
I don't know. He could have maybe, you said, why did he say 7 years? So I don't know why.
Maybe he thought everyone was going
to
counter with
him. Maybe. or maybe there's a certain understanding of how much, you know, men had to put up money if they're going to get married, right? They had to put up a dowry. Right? There was a certain usually the father did that.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I don't know. So, but maybe there's understanding, and that's probably what makes love on such a bad guy. But usually the father gives money. So you're right. But there must have been some amount, 7 years of work. He knew something about economics to be able to say whatever that meant sociologically at that time, that was like a reasonable amount. And maybe, again, maybe not so reasonable, but reasonable considering who he's dealing with. I would imagine his mom gave him the lowdown. Racha bitchat haktana, right? He knew who this guy was. And by the way, even if he didn't know, he's there for a month already. He's seen this guy. He knows. A person who's savvy, right? You pick that up pretty quickly, the type of person you're dealing with. So if he knows that, so maybe, again, maybe not that 7 years was actually fair, right? But considering who I'm dealing with, it could have been more. So vayu ben avke, yamim achadim v'achavasosa. Meaning, it was a long time. He wished it was less, but it could have been worse.
Isn't
right, so it's perspective.
He offered 7 years?
Yes, he offered 7 years.
It was his idea.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but Lavan's the one who says to him, like, well, tell me, you've been working here for free for a month already. Like, tell me what I should pay you. So his response is, okay, so I don't have any money, so I'll work for you 7 years if I can marry Rachel. Right? So he Lavan's the one who says, tell me what I can pay you. And his answer basically is, a wife, right? If you give me your daughter, then I'll work. Right? But, so I'm just saying, we don't know where the number 7 came from. Less than 10 maybe makes sense because that's what his mom had told him, right? But how do you know, why not 3, why not 2, why not 6 months? I don't know. But
well,
I'm saying that might have been
3 years old, then he has to wait till she...
No, Rivka was 3 years old.
Oh.
Rachel's already a little older. Yeah, she's older already. Yes, no, correct, you know. But even Rivka being 3 years old, that's a medrash also. We don't know that. But, okay, if it bothers you, then she's, you know. It doesn't bother you because it was like the, you know, the priest, you know, whatever you want to call it. Whatever age it was, the old days. But fine, but that's what Sforno says. Sforno says, why is it Kemi Machadim? It was still a long time, but for him, it could have been worse. Perspective.
Right? Positive attitude.
Right? It could always be worse, right? You know that book, right? The guy with the guy who comes to the rabbi, he says, he has a chicken and a... He has his family, and it was one house. The house is too small, and the rabbi says, "Rabbi, what do I do?" The rabbi says, "Take the chicken into your house. And he comes back. That's even worse. Now put the cow in your house. Now put the donkey in your house. Fine." And then he finally comes back, and the rabbi says, "Take them all out." And he comes and says, "Wow, Rabbi, you really made it all better, right?" So that book's called "It Could Always Be Worse," right? So fine. So that's the Sforno. It could always be worse. Could have been worse. Fine. Okay. Chizkuni, source number 6. Says the Chizkuni, source number 6, Vayu Beinav Ki Amim Achadim, Davar Muat Haya Beinav. No, it was. Not a lot. Lavod Bishvila Zayin Shanim, Meirov Chivatoba, because he really loved her so much. Okay. Vilu Hay Lavan Shorel Yoter, and if Lavan would have asked for more, Hayakov Oved, he would have done more. So meaning, it's sort of similar to the Sforno. Right? I mean, again, it could have been more. Davar Acher, La'achar Sha'avar Hayu Beinav, when did he feel like it was not a lot of time? After they were done.
Yeah.
After he's finished, he's like, you know what? Feels like it was, you know, just yesterday that we met, you know? And now they found it together. So, you know, in retrospect, maybe it's a little easier than as it's moving along. While he was working, it felt like forever. I mean, the Chizkuni is answering the question. He's like, I know what you're thinking. This doesn't make any sense. That's not human nature. So he's saying, yeah, but human nature is, right?
Looking back.
You look back. You look at your kids, right? You're like, oh. You know, sometimes we joke around, like, my kids are now, like, taller than me. You know, like, where you, like, fit in, like, this little, you know? Like, we look back. It's just yesterday. I never say that. I don't feel like that. Just yesterday. It's been a long time, when you look back in retrospect, you can do that. Oh, it's in retrospect, it's actually pretty. It feels pretty quick. right? But the Chizkut, he says, but in the time, there's no way that he felt it was a short amount of time. Okay? Fine. The Ksava Kabbalah says a similar point. He says a similar idea. Like, again, while he was counting backwards, so that it feels easier. Fine. Okay. Look what he says. It's just interesting. The Ksava Kabbalah, source number 7, he says, this is Rabbi Yaakov T. Mecklenburg, already in the 1800s. He writes, Ki Yamim Achadim, Bishvil Avasau, so because he loved her so much, Haya Hazman Aroch Beinav. It was like a really long time. Ko Kach, Misaper Umone, Yamim Achadim, Shalsheva Shanim, Shehura. Imagine having to count out 7 years in days. How long it would take you? 1, 2. Right, if you had to count. Right, so you have to count all that time day by day. So how does it feel? It feels like a long time. It felt kayamim achadim.
So totally flipped it.
Meaning it felt, not that it was fast.
Right.
He said, we think kayamim achadim means it was, it felt like it was just a few days. No, it felt like counting every single day. Yamim achadim. It's not a different shot. Like, it's very nice, right? Like a person who counts individual things. The kasha adar meod, it was so hard for him. Meshach hazman, mimish misaper moner rak hashanim. As opposed to someone who just counts a year at a time. That's much easier. V'lachein amar kiyamim v'lo kashanim achadim. Right? So it says kiyamim achadim. He's counting day by day by day by day. That's very, very hard and very painful and very difficult to count every single day. Good. It's like the person in jail. Fine. Okay. But now I want to tell you one last pshat. One last pshat, which I think is really... also very nice, but these are all very nice. Rabbeinu Bechaya says this, I think this Fasemis also says it, but I was looking this morning to find this Fasemis, I couldn't find it. But he probably says it somewhere. But the Rabbeinu Bechaya also says this. V'yu b'nav k'yamim achadim. Haya ra'ui, sh'yu b'nav k'yamim mirubim. It should, looking in front of himself, 7 years is how many days? 22,000 days, is that what it is? Something like that, yeah. Right? It's a lot of days, right? So it's more than that, right? It's a lot. Okay, we should say how many days it is. Let's do it. We have to do it. Two English days. 365 times 7 is 2,555 days in English. And, you know, and it's, what's the other one? 354 times 7. Or 2,470 days. It's 2,500 days. It's a lot of days. Okay, it's a lot of days. Okay, fine. I was way off. What did I say? 22,000. I'm not a math guy. What can I tell you? Okay. Hayar wish you be enough to have him rubim. It should not feel like a few days. It should feel like a lot of days. Avali inyan torah ha'avoda. Amar kein. But in order to manage the difficulty of the work, amar kein. It says this. Maybe he said it, but who said it? Ki hayu etzlo yamim achadim. Lo minyan shanim, lo minyan chadashim. It was like a few days, not weeks, not months, not years. V'chein amar ki malu yamai. V'lo amar shnosai. He says, my days have been finished, not years. V'zed laham it be'inav torach sheva shanim. Yaakov did this on purpose, to make the years feel less difficult. What does that mean? What did it mean he made it less difficult?
Like taking it one day at a time as opposed to staring down.
Right, psychologically.
Like almost a decade I have to wait.
Yeah,
if he looks at the job as so big, it's going to take me 7 years. That feels so large, right? That like it feels insurmountable. So what did he do? V'yu, it's a chiddush in how you read the pasuk. V'yu beinav kayamim achadim. He made it in his own eyes to be like a few days. Why? He loved her so much, it was so hard for him to wait, that instead of trying to count 7 years, which would be impossible, he said, I'll make it like, I'll just take it one day at a time. Yamim achadim. I made that a lot of ones together. And by doing it one day at a time, and not looking about the next day, I'm just going to do today. Let's deal with today and not worry about tomorrow. He found his way to eventually finish the job. Very interesting. It's like a psychological insight here, right? It's very nice. And it's a lesson in not just, being engaged. But it's a lesson in a lot of, almost everything in life, right? Every avoda, every difficulty, every challenge, everything we're trying to accomplish, everything we're trying to do in life, when we look at it so big, it feels impossible. When we look at it one day at a time, it becomes much more manageable. But that's not so easy to do.
Well, isn't that a thing, like, when they have, like, the Shmir HaLashon, like, just don't speak Lashon Hara for an hour.
Yes.
The idea is, like, to take on a Kabbalah in, like, very, like, small pieces.
Yes.
And then build up to something
yes.
bigger.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what they do in 12-step meetings.
Yes.
Well, that's
today.
Psychological
not going to drink today.
Commitment and consistency.
Right. Yeah. What? Say again?
Commitment and consistency.
Yes. Consistency. Okay. Yes, absolutely. That's what it's all about. Because anytime something feels too big, we just give up. Right? We get inspired and we get started. And then we're like, okay, forget it. This happens all the time. I talk about this all the time. When I took my kids to, and I have a different story to share with you, but I took my kids to the CMA Shas in 2020. So 2020, the CMA Shas was the MetLife Stadium. It was like 95,000 people. It's incredible, amazing thing. It was in January. It was freezing. They handed out hand warmers and foot warmers at the same HS. So we went, and they were little. This is 5 years, almost 6 years ago. They were very little, but I said, let's get shmack, let's go. So we went, and they were freezing. And they're like, can we leave? I'm like, we can leave. We don't have to stay for the same. I wanted to stay for Amen Yehishmei Rabba, for Mincha. That was amazing. I took a video of that. Amen Yehishmei Rabba, 90,000 people. But then I said, we need to see to hear Rabbi Frant. So Rabbi Frant, every Sima Shas Rabbi Frant says something like, it's not fair anymore. I can't imagine when he's going to say this, like the next one. But he said, I think it's July 2027 or something. Yeah, something like that. So he said, maybe it's earlier than that. But he said, he talked about how anytime a person starts Tafyomi, so there's always this thing, like, okay, I'm going to start, but then like I'm not gonna be able to finish. Like, I can't. Like, I'm gonna get started, and then I'm gonna. So I might as well not start, because if I start and then I get through brachos and I get to Shabbos and I get to Erevin and it becomes too difficult, I'm gonna fall apart. Something happens. I have a simcha, I get sick. You fall behind. It's over. So my friend said, never allow perfect to be the enemy of good. Never allow perfect to be the enemy of good. So we use that a lot in the construction of the building. When things didn't go the way we wanted to go, so we said, never allow perfect to be the enemy of good. Right? But it's such an important rule in Avodas Hashem. Let's just do today. And let's not worry what's going to. But if you don't do it now, then. And I always tell people like that. I want to start that feel me. I say, great, start that feel me. But I say, do me a favor or do yourself a favor. When you miss a day, don't come back. Just do the next day. Because it ends up happening. People, they pile up all the days they miss, and then they're like, forget it, I can't do it anymore. Don't worry about yesterday. Just do today. Just do today, and then do the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, right? Don't worry about the big picture. How's it going to work? Am I going to get it all done? I don't know. Do today. So take a look at this story. This is a story written by Rabbi Aryeh Zev Ginsberg. Rabbi Aryeh Zev Ginsberg is the rabbi, says at the end, is the rabbi of the Chafetz Chaim Torah Center of Cedarhurst and the founding rabbi of Orem Moshe Institute in Hillcrest, Queens. So read this story. He wrote this in December of 2020. Almost everyone I meet knows about my COVID experience, how I caught the virus shortly after Purim, how my situation deteriorated with frightening speed until I was literally gasping for breath, how my family had to fight to keep me connected to life-saving equipment. I really, really, really don't like talking about COVID. So I'm only reading this story because it's such a good story, but I otherwise would not share it because I'm traumatized from COVID. I don't talk about it ever. But this story is so good. I'll tell you the story. And most, I used to pretend like I like it. There's some like other reason why I don't like to talk about it. It's for sure because of like my own professional and personal trauma that I experienced during that time. I don't like the word. But anyway, sorry. And most people think this story. I'm getting over it. Right, one day at a time. And most people think the story.
Want to talk about it?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Think the story came. Maybe I do. Think the story came to a miraculous end when I finally returned home 6.5 weeks later. But for me, the story has continued. I was discharged from the hospital with a protocol of intensive physical therapy that would hopefully restore my right leg, immobilized due to a hematoma and severe nerve damage to its former use. I knew very little about physical or occupational therapy. I just knew that I really didn't believe in them. I do now. It's been months of intensive therapy at this point, and having gone from bed to the wheelchair to the walker to the cane and then walking unaided, the whole experience has been a great learning opportunity. I have learned about the incredible skills and patience that every good therapist needs, and the importance of the role they play in their patient's recovery process. I've learned to appreciate all those limbs I took for granted. I've learned how much effort and how much sheer hard work every therapy patient expends. And along the way, I discovered inner strength that I never knew that I had. Many people have asked what kept me motivated to continue pushing so hard when it would have been much easier to give up. The motivation, I told them, had actually been provided by the true healer many years ago, meaning by Hashem. It was during your trip to Eretz Yisrael. One evening, I found myself in a shul in Jerusalem for Maariv. I arrived a few minutes early and picked up one of the monthly periodicals that was lying on the table. That week was the Shloshim of Aaron Soloveitchik Tzatzal of Chicago. And I noticed a brief biography of the Rosh Yeshiva. This is Rav Aaron was Joseph B. Soloveitchik's brother. Okay, so he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Chicago. Rosh Yeshiva in YU also, but he was in the Skokie Yeshiva. I had only met Rav Soloveitchik once when I traveled to the Chicago wedding of a young man from my shul. At the time, Rav Aaron was suffering from the after effects of a massive stroke. He was confined to a wheelchair and had some difficulty speaking. Now, as I read the article, one particular story hit home, giving me a completely different image of the man. After his stroke, a Talmud related, Rav Aaron attended regular therapy sessions, valiantly trying to regain his former abilities. His Talmidim used to accompany him to therapy. One day, the Talmud who escorted him noticed that while the Rosh Yeshiva was struggling to walk a few steps, his lips were moving. The Talmud was curious. What was Rosh Yeshiva saying as he strained his muscles so mightily? Maybe he was reciting Mishnayos by heart. Maybe it was some Tehillim. Then the Talmud leaned a bit closer and, to his shock, heard Rav Aaron whispering the words we say during the Musaf of Yom Kippur, when we recount the avod of the Kohen Gadol. With each step he took, Rav Aaron murmured the words of the Kohen Gadol had said as he carried out his exalted work. Achas, achas va'achas, achas ushtayim, achas ushtayim. We recognize those phrases. That's how he sprinkles the blood. On the paroches, and we read that on in the avodah on Yom Kippur. Step by faltering step in that therapy clinic in Illinois, the Rosh Yeshiva was performing his own sort of avoda. I'm not sure why this story resonated with me at the time, but right after Maariv, I took out my pen, wrote it down, and filed it away with my notes. Back then, I didn't understand why I needed to be in shul that precisely during that week when that pamphlet was lying carelessly on a random table. Now I do. Hashem knew of the challenge I would face decades later. He knew I would need months of intense therapy. He gave me this story, and so he gave me the strength to climb or crawl back to myself. During the many strenuous physical therapy sessions, when I felt like I simply could not exert my spent muscles any further, I would start counting to myself. Achas. Achas va'achas. Achas v'shtayim. Achas v'shalosh. And instead of feeling sorry for myself, I envisioned the session as my avoda. For whatever reason Hashem had that determined, this was a struggle I had to undergo, and hard as it was, I had to do my part. I'm still struggling, still trying to move forward, and with each step I take, each session I complete, I remember a holy man who transformed his therapy sessions to exalted service. Because really, every step we take is part of our personal avoda. Very powerful. I knew Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron was the father-in-law of my rabbi growing up, Rabbi Gershon Siegel in Newton, Massachusetts. So when Rav Aaron would come to visit for Yontif or whatever, so he would come, he'd stay at his daughter, and my father would be his doctor. So we went a few times to the house. I would go with my father to help him. When Rav Aaron would, after he had the stroke, even after all the therapy, every time he would move, he would scream, "Oi!" like that. Every time he would move to get an aliyah, it was like this excruciating process, actually, every time he would move. But so this story they tell about the therapy session, they tell the same story, was when he would come, he would still come to YU to give shiur. So Rabbi Reuben Brand told the story that they heard the same thing. If you've ever been to the MTA building, to go into MTA, like into YU, the old YU base medrash, so there's like, you know, like the old days, like there weren't any ramps. Mm-hmm. You know, now they put ramps in, but there's no ramp, so he'd have to walk up the stairs. And so I said he'd do the same thing as he'd go step by step, achas, achas for achas, achas for shnai, right? And I don't have to say anything, right? Step by step. That's what this is about. And so that beautiful idea of Benin Bechaya, I think, is the same idea. There's no avoda. There's nothing in life that gets fixed or worked on or made better in a moment, in one flash of inspiration. And now I fix it. Now I'm done. Now I'm good. I heard an inspiring thing, and now I'm solved. I'm solved for 5 minutes or for a day or for a week until the challenge comes back. Right? And the only way to actually make progress is achas, achas v'achas, achas u'shtayim. Ve'yubeinav kemim achadim. Making it a one day at a time process. When we do that, we can't be assured that we'll, you know, that we'll take care of everything and solve them. I think I've said this before. I stopped solving problems. I started just trying to make them a little better. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that we do better when we have that in mind. We don't solve, we don't fix, we don't make everything all back to the way it was. That's just not the reality of life. But the reality of life is we can make things better. We can make ourselves better, we can improve, we can make things better for our families. And the ways we do all of those things is one day at a time. One mission at a time, one pasuk at a time, one Shmiras HaLashon message at a time, whatever it is, right? That's another, my best friend. He said, a mission a day, a pasuk a day, something a day, right? Every day, he said, you know? Not allowing perfect to the enemy of good. Not saying, well, if I can't do it all right away, I might as well not try. No, the value is in the try. The value is in the day by day. And when we do that, so then again, we may not solve everything, every problem in our life, but we will be working very, very hard to make it a little bit better. Okay?